Chapter 24, The Sixth Parable. While seated in my house and praising the Lord for all I had seen, I also meditated on how the mandates were noble, possible of fulfillment, joyous, glorious, and capable of saving a man's soul. So I said to myself, I shall be blessed if I walk in these mandates, and so will anyone be who walks in them. As I was saying this to myself, I suddenly saw him seated beside me. He said to me,
Why are you entertaining double-mindedness about the mandates I gave to you? They are beautiful. Cast aside all double-mindedness, clothe yourself with faith in the Lord, and walk in them, for I shall give you strength to keep them. These mandates are advantageous for those who intend to repent. For if they do not walk in them, their repentance is worthless. So all of you who repent must cast off the wickedness of this world which wears you down. If you put on every excellence of righteousness, you will be able to observe these mandates and keep from committing any additional sins. For if you do not add to your former sins, you will eliminate many of your former sins. Therefore, walk in these mandates and you will live to God. All this I have told you.
After telling me this, he said,
Let us go into the field and I shall show you the shepherds of the sheep.
Yes, sir, I said, let us go. On coming to a certain field, he pointed out to me a young shepherd, clothed in a suit of saffron-colored garments. He was tending an extremely large number of sheep, who were apparently well-fed and frisky and frolicking joyously here and there. The shepherd himself was merry with his flock, and his whole appearance was joyous as he ran about among his sheep. He said to me,
Do you see the shepherd?
Yes, sir, I said.
This is the angel of luxury and deceit,
he said.
He wears down the souls of God's servants who are empty and makes them turn away from the truth by deceiving them with evil desires through which they will perish. Consequently, they forget the commandments of the living God and walk in deceits and vain luxury. Thus, they are sent to destruction by this angel, some to death, some to corruption.
I said to him, Sir, I do not know what this means, death and corruption.
I shall tell you,
he said.
The sheep you see joyously frolicking are those who have been completely drawn away from God and have surrendered themselves to the lusts of this world. For in these there is no repentance unto life, because they are blaspheming the name of God. Therefore their life is death. And the sheep you see not frolicking, but standing in one place and grazing, are those who have given themselves up to luxury and deceit, but have not blasphemed the Lord. These are those, then, who have been led away from the truth. There is hope of repentance for them, and so of life. For their perversion holds some hope of renovation, but death means everlasting ruin.
Once more we went on a little further, and he pointed out to me a shepherd, large and quite savage in appearance. He was dressed in white goat skin, with a bag on his shoulders. In his hands was a very rough staff, with knots in it, and a whip. His look was so severe that I was afraid of him. This shepherd was constantly receiving sheep from a young shepherd, those that were frisky and well-fed, but not frolicking about. And he threw them into a place that was steep and full of thorns and thistles, so that the sheep could not disentangle themselves from the thorns and thistles, but became entangled in them. These sheep, entangled in the thorns and thistles, were very miserable, because they were being beaten by him. Though they were driven here and there, he gave them no rest. They could not lie down at ease anywhere at all. When I saw them whipped like this, and in misery, I was sorry for them, because they were so tormented without any respite whatever. I said to the shepherd who was talking to me, "Sir, who is this heartless and savage shepherd, so utterly devoid of pity for these sheep?"
"He is the angel of punishment, one of the righteous angels entrusted with punishment,"
he said.
"He takes those who have wandered away from God and have walked in the lusts and deceits of this world and chastises them as they deserve with diverse and dreadful punishments."
"Sir, I would like to know what these very punishments are," I said.
"I shall tell you,"
he said.
"The tortures and punishments are temporal. For some are punished with losses, some by poverty, some by various types of sicknesses, some by all kinds of disorder and confusion, some from the insults of unworthy people and sufferings of all kinds. For many people who are unsettled in their plans set their hands at many things, but nothing at all prospers for them. They say that they are not doing well in their pursuits, but it does not enter their heart that they have committed wicked deeds. Instead, they blame the Lord. When they have suffered every affliction, they are handed over to me for sound instruction. Then they are strengthened in the faith of the Lord, and for the rest of the days of their life, they serve the Lord with a pure heart. Now, when they repent, they recall the evil deeds that they committed, and at that point they praise God. They declare that God is a righteous judge, knowing that they each have suffered according to the measure of their own deeds. For the rest of the days of their life, they serve the Lord with pure hearts and prosper in their pursuits, receiving from the Lord whatever they ask for. Then, too, they praise the Lord for having been handed over to me and never again suffer any evil."
I said to him, "Sir, explain one more thing to me."
"What is your question?"
he said. I said, "Sir, are those who live in luxury and deceit tortured for the same length of time as they lived in luxury and deceit?"
"Yes, they are tortured for the same time,"
he said. I said, "Sir, they are put to the torture a very short time. They ought to be tortured 7 times as long for living in luxury and forgetting God as they do." He said to me,
"You are foolish and do not understand the power of the torture."
"If I did understand, sir, I would not have asked you to explain it to me," I said.
"Let me tell you the power of the two. The time of luxury and deceit is 1 hour, but the hour of torture is the equivalent of 30 days. So if anyone luxuriates himself or allows himself to be deceived for a single day, a single day's torture has the effectiveness of a whole year. Therefore, a man is tortured for as many years as there were days of luxury."
Then he said,
"So you see that, though the period of luxury and deceit is very short, the period of punishment and torture is protracted."
"Sir," I said, "I still do not fully understand about the period of deceit and luxury, and the period of torture. Give me a clearer explanation." In answer, he said to me,
"Your foolishness is persistent, and you do not wish to purify your heart and serve God."
Then he said,
"Take care, lest the time be fulfilled and it should be found that you are foolish."
Then he said,
"Let me tell you then, that you may understand as you wish. The man who indulges in luxury and is deceived for a single day, who does what he pleases, is clothed in considerable foolishness without realizing his performance. The next day he forgets what he did the day before. For luxury and deceit have no memory, because of that foolishness in which they are clothed. But when punishment and torture are imposed on a man for a single day, it is as punishment and torture for a whole year. For punishment and torture have long memories. Therefore, the man who is punished and tortured for a whole year finally remembers his luxury and deceit, and he knows that he suffers evil for that reason. Consequently, every luxurious and deceived man is tortured in this way, because, though he had life, he gave himself over to death.
What kinds of luxuries are harmful, sir? I said.
Every act performed with pleasure is luxurious for man,
he said.
For example, the sharp-tempered man, by gratifying his passion, is luxurious. Likewise, the adulterer, the drunkard, the slanderer, the liar, the envious, the robber, and anyone who commits similar sins gives free rein to his peculiar vice. Consequently, he is luxurious in his action. All these acts of luxury are harmful to God's servants. Therefore, it is on account of these deceits that those who are punished and tortured suffer. However, there are acts of luxury that bring salvation to men. For there are many people who are luxurious in their good actions who are carried away by the pleasure this gives them. Therefore, this kind of luxury is advantageous for God's servants and secures life for this type of man. Whereas the injurious luxury mentioned before brings them punishment and torture, and if they persist without repenting, they bring death on themselves.